Hey everyone, I'm Simmer, a student at Harvard University.
And I'm Roger, a student at King's College London.
And this is That Medic Podcast.
In this episode, we spoke to Avi Mehra, the co-founder of Doctorpreneurs and an associate clinical partner for the healthcare division at IBM Watson. In this podcast, we discuss the transition to working within the healthcare industry, the challenges that every entrepreneur may face, and the steps you need to be taking to expand your knowledge of digital health. As always, I started the podcast by asking the question, why did you decide to study medicine?
Oh, interesting. No grand reason, really. So I grew up in northwest of England. My parents were both doctors. As many, like many young individuals at that age, sort of 16, 17, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my career. Didn't really truly understand what I was interested in, if I'm honest with you. And because my parents were both doctors and my brother, and I have an older brother as well, and he went to study medicine as well, just naturally kind of ended up choosing medicine because, to be honest, I didn't really have many other things I was passionate about. And that's really the truth. And I hear it a lot because it's hard to make those type of decisions at that age.
100%. So sort of one area you've been sort of quite involved with over the years, Avi, is sort of clinical entrepreneurship. For a lot of sort of medical students listening, I was just wondering whether you could sort of define exactly what clinical entrepreneurship is and what it means and also why it's so important.
Yeah, sure. So from my perspective, fundamentally, you know, in its broadest sense, it's about clinicians solving problems in healthcare, right? Now, this could be through being an innovator or intrapreneur within the system, so driving change within the system, or as an entrepreneur, i.e., you know, building a commercial venture that you're looking to spin out as well. And I think both routes are equally impactful and equally important. And so the way I look at it is really that broader sense is both clinicians being intrapreneurs and entrepreneurs. And I think nowadays you're seeing so many more examples of successful examples of clinicians who are really doing these things and doing it tremendously well.
So when did you sort of, you know, get involved with the clinical entrepreneurship space? You know, when did it sort of start at medical school?
Yeah, for me, so I studied medicine at Imperial. I did the 6-year degree and I got to intercalate in my fourth year in the business school, which for me was a really unique experience, right? To spend a year studying about business, strategy, finance, entrepreneurship, and also how it relates to healthcare. Really started that year, planted these sort of new seeds of interest for me. But I'll be honest, at that time, I didn't really know what to make of it. I was interested by the space. I couldn't really define it. I was interested in technology, the concept of strategy, the concept of sort of thinking about healthcare systems as a whole and thinking how you can leverage technology to impact them. But at that point, you know, I didn't really know what to do with, you know, these interests that I had. Beyond that year of sort of experimentation within the business school. And so I'd say I really got more practically involved as a junior doctor. And as a junior doctor working in the NHS Trust, identifying problems that, you know, you had to work through on a day-to-day basis. And one problem in particular that I focused on in my F1 and F2 year was around clinical handover. And, you know, to cut a long story short, I ended up leading a project across the NHS Trust that I was working at, where we developed and designed a digital handover solution to improve clinical handover between shifts and between weekday and weekend. And that was a project that I sort of initiated, led, you know, we managed to secure funding internally and got a team together. And it took about almost 2 years in total. That was my first practical experience of sort of being, I would say, an innovator or intrapreneur within the system. And from then, that's what spurred me to sort of help co-found Doctorpreneurs and then, you know, carry on with my career in a different way, you know, outside of traditional clinical practice and sort of pivoting my career more into the digital health space on a more permanent basis.
So you sort of mentioned, you know, Doctorpreneurs, which is doing some, you know, really exciting work to inspire, you know, both current and future generations of doctors coming through. But back to your sort of handover project, you know, would you say there were sort of enough opportunities to get involved with innovation back then? Or do you think this is something that's sort of, you know, changed over time?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of change. So back when I was a junior doctor and also a medical student, it was really hard to find those opportunities and even just people to speak to. And that was part of the reason why, Doctorpreneurs was started. And for those who don't know, you know, Doctorpreneurs, we're a nonprofit organization and community for healthcare professionals and students interested in technology innovation and entrepreneurship in healthcare. It was tough to really find avenues to explore, you know, your interests, to speak to people who'd done similar things and learn about the space. I think nowadays, I think actually there are so many opportunities, which is fantastic, but it can also be, there's also almost too much as well to make sense of as well. So, but overall, I think it's great. I think it's great that, doctors can have more of a portfolio career these days, and it's much more accepted. And you have communities like Doctorpreneurs and many others. There's so many other communities and organizations that are also championing, the role of clinicians in driving sort of change through digital health innovation, through entrepreneurship and more.
So why do you think it's so important to sort of have this innovation, have this driving of change across the NHS at the moment?
So, I mean, if you take a step back and look at the challenges healthcare is facing, not just in the NHS, but globally, you know, they are significant. And we've all lived through it in this past year with the pandemic, right? But even beyond the pandemic, even before the pandemic happened, so many significant challenges in terms of, you know, the costs of care rising, demand on health systems increasing, patient expectations increasing, right? So with so many issues and difficulties, you need all hands on deck trying to help and drive change. And, you know, personally, obviously I'm biased being a clinician by background, I think clinicians have an absolutely pivotal role to play in helping to solve those challenges and improving care and reducing costs, you know, because of their role within the system and experiencing those problems on a day-to-day basis. So number one, you know, there are a huge amount of challenges to solve for, and clinicians are optimally poised because of their unique view and vantage point within the system, but also in terms of transferable skills. There are lots of transferable skills that clinicians have that you develop as a clinician, as a doctor, which lend themselves to being really, you know, being used as an innovator or an entrepreneur. And I think that's also really important as well. To recognize, and you know, we see so many examples of that today as well.
So these are the sort of skills you must be seeing, I'm guessing, as a sort of mentor on the sort of NHS Clinical Entrepreneurs program.
Absolutely, that's a fantastic program. You know, the NHS Clinical Entrepreneur program that really supports doctors in training develop and scale out their ideas within the NHS. I think it's in its fifth year now already, and hundreds of fellows have been through the program. And yep, I'm a mentor on the program, which is fantastic. But I'll be honest, I learned so much more from the entrepreneurs and the companies myself, and I'm inspired by them as well. So I see, you know, great, and you see that with the number of the sort of fellows and clinicians coming through. But on the flip side, it is important too, and we try to do this. I've always tried to do this, you know, with Doctorpreneurs and any sort of coaching or mentorship that we do is to try and paint the whole picture and show, you know, it sounds very exciting, right? You know, the whole digital health space, health boom, entrepreneurship, very sexy. You see all the success stories in the media and people raising loads of money. But you know what often isn't shown or shared as often is the risks involved and the downsides and what happens when things go wrong, you know, the mental health toll on being a sole founder and taking building and doing that and also for clinicians particularly balancing trying to juggle your interest alongside a clinical career and the challenges that has as well. So I think it's really important to cover both areas and think about both things. And I often do that whenever I'm speaking to medical students or doctors who are thinking about whether it be a career in the health tech space and joining, a big tech company like I've done, working for IBM, or whether it's to spin off and launch their own venture, you know, it's really important to think about the challenges involved and what you truly want to do and want to achieve and why you're doing it before you, you know, you throw all your eggs in a basket.
So what are the sort of biggest challenges which you think these sort of entrepreneurs sort of come across when actually trying to innovate and disrupt healthcare, and especially across the NHS?
Yeah, so I think to begin with, you know, the health system, if we're speaking about the NHS specifically, you know, it's a very complex healthcare system. All healthcare systems are, right? And very highly regulated because naturally, you know, patient safety is at risk. So that inherent complexity within healthcare systems, and particularly the NHS, can make it more challenging to get, you know, your proposition into, like, to get it tested, get it sort of deployed and scaled out, because there's so many more checks and balances required in healthcare than there are in some other industries. So I think fundamentally the first challenge is the healthcare system itself. Incredibly complex, so many different stakeholders, trying to understand where the funding flows, right? So who is the actual purchaser of my solution, and how am I going to get, you know, the solution commissioned or purchased? And then you have all the rest, which I think are more generic across industries, which is just around how do you successfully innovate and how do you develop an idea, test it, deploy it, scale it. So challenges with raising funding and building your team and testing your proposition, and particularly in healthcare, building the evidence base that's required, right, to get successful adoption within the healthcare system. Again, you know, is often, especially for companies that don't have clinical involvement early on, they sometimes, you know, they don't realize the amount of effort that's required with building the evidence base or regulatory compliance, you know, with solutions that are impacting patient care. So there are a lot of challenges, but nothing that can't be overcome with the right approach.
So Avi, you know, you have now sort of transitioned from your work on the front line to now working within the healthcare industry at IBM. So what sort of surprised you, you know, when you made that sort of transition?
Yeah, so I guess, when I joined Bupa, you know, when you join these sort of large corporates, you realize there's a huge amount of like bureaucracy internally within organizations, but for good reason, because again, goes to my earlier point around the complexity of the healthcare system. And so sometimes things will move a lot slower than I expected. Initially looking from out, looking in, I thought things, you know, move faster and there was less politics and bureaucracy to deal with. And that was a surprise to me and something I had to adjust to, a new way of working. But then on a positive note, what I was also surprised about, both in Bupa and with IBM, was just the opportunity to work at scale and collaborate with different organizations and with different industries. I didn't truly appreciate it, you know, when I was until you're sort of more in working in industry, you kind of have a feeling of how things are going on and what opportunities there are.
Of course, COVID-19 has pretty transformed healthcare in the way it's sort of been delivered over the last year or so. Has that sort of impacted the sort of companies you've been working with over the last, you know, few months or so?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So within IBM, you know, IBM has globally been doing a huge amount to support healthcare systems, whether it be supporting with the vaccine discovery or with looking at things like digital health passports, you know, sort of COVID vaccine certificates, lending its sort of computing capabilities to research organizations around the world, and so forth. And now as well, starting to work with healthcare organizations, whether it be in the NHS or internationally, and help them start thinking about how they're going to deal with the backlog of issues that have sort of built up whilst, you know, certain services have been shut down or reduced. So, you know, it's affected every company in every industry in different ways. And I think companies in the healthcare and technology space have been, you know, have had a very important role to play in both helping, you know, with the adoption of technology in these healthcare systems, and also starting to think about how different organizations can come back and rebound and prepare for, you know, when things start to become a bit more normal.
So, of course, you've been at IBM 4 years now. But a sort of question I'm quite interested in is, you know, would you ever go back to practice?
Yeah. So, you know, so I never say never. And actually, when COVID hit and they made the call out for doctors to return, you know, I put my hand up and I got my license back, and I was working with IBM to figure out a return strategy. And I was on the sort of the training rota for the Nightingale in London. I'd re-registered with UCLA. So in my mind, it was crazy at the time. I was back on my laptop. I was revising. I was studying ECGs, X-rays, looking at ECGs again, you know, things I hadn't done for like over 4.5 years. And I think through that experience, though, for different reasons, I didn't end up making a full return to frontline care. I tried to support in different ways. But it did make me realize that, you know, it is a possibility, right? It could be. And I would never want to shut the door to that. So I still hold my registration. I still, you know, as mentioned, I'm still relicensed because of the pandemic. And I would again put my hand up if there was the call out again and they needed support. So I never say never. However, you know, for me personally, I don't think I'd probably go back to clinical practice more than beyond supporting in an emergency scenario.
Well, Avi, you know, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. But before we go, there's a lot of medical students listening who are sort of interested in exploring digital health opportunities in the future. So just wondering whether you had, you know, 2-3 sort of tips for them.
I say this to everyone. I think first is take a step back, firstly, more holistically, and think and try and get to know yourself better first. You know, ask yourself why. Are you interested in this just because everyone, loads of other people are, or is this something that you are actually passionate about and interested in? And I think just taking a step back, reflecting, understanding what motivates you, what you're interested in, and what your strengths are, I think is a good starting point to then build on. And really getting to know yourself better. And I fundamentally always try to do that regularly and continue to do that today. Beyond that, though, once you've started to get a firm sense of answering those questions, you know, there are some practical tips to getting involved. Number one, again, quality improvement projects. Really good way for me. It was a really, you know, easy way to sort of practically get hands-on with things in the digital health space. And it doesn't have to be a massive project. It could just be a small project you start, you know, within the trust, within the hospital you're working at. It doesn't have to really be technology-based to begin with either. So just think about the problem you're solving for. And I think quality improvement and getting and learning about quality improvement is a great way, because it's so many parallels between, obviously, the work you need to do as a medical student and doctor in terms of improving care and innovation. And that whole PDSA, that quality improvement methodology, will come to benefit in any other venture or thing you do later on in life. And then I think some other tips, you know, starting to read broadly. You know, it's great podcasts like what you're doing today and just learning from other people in the industry, just reading broadly about the space, whether it be learning about artificial intelligence, machine learning, other emerging trends in the space, attending events, just trying to broaden your knowledge. And then, you know, finally, something that's been really important for me is mentorship and coaches. So reaching out to people who are in the space and just asking, just trying to build a relationship with them. You know, I enjoy doing a lot of mentorship and coaching myself, and I'm happy for anyone who's listening. If they want to reach out, they can reach out to me via my website, avimera.com or drpreneurs.com. But yeah, reach out to mentors. You'd be surprised. People, you know, they will find the time to speak to you. Try to go in with, you know, don't just say, hey, can I have 15 minutes of your time? But try and build a relationship, right? Show them why you're interested, what you're trying to learn about the space, why you've reached out to them. And I think that really helps, having, you know, mentors and people who've been there to guide you and on the journey. And look, there are many more tips I can give. I definitely recommend checking out doctorpreneurs.com and other similar communities. There are a lot of communities out there that are that have great resources, have great, you know, interviews and podcasts and events and things for students and doctors to get involved in. So it's a great time. It's a really great time to be in the space. And yeah, happy to speak to anyone who would like to get in touch.
Wonderful. I'm sure there'll be a lot of medical students listening who will be contacting you. So watch out for that, Avi. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks, Raja. Thanks.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. I hope you all enjoyed it. If you did, I'd really appreciate if you could give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with all the links in the description below. Until next time, thank you so much for listening and take care.